If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Our job as parents is not to decide how they're going to process or what their emotions are going to be. It is to move ourselves to a position of support and right. to meet them exactly where they are.
Welcome to the Honestly Adoption Podcast, a show about adoption, foster care, advocacy, and becoming the best caregiver possible. Pull up a chair. We're glad you've joined us. Here are your hosts, Mike and Kristen Berry, with Nicole Jurgis.
Friends and family, welcome back to the Honestly Adoption Podcast. We are so glad you're here. My name is Mike Berry, along with Kristen Berry and Nicole Jurgis. We are your hosts for this show, and we are in season 25, and this is episode 218. And right.
We're just talking about getting old.
He's like, be quiet. Don't interrupt. Don't hit your mic.
Gosh, that is so great. I'm like, this is great. This is good podcasting right here, because I'm like, welcome to the Honestly Adoption Podcast.
And we started laughing at you.
Everybody's like, dude, we're so old. 25 seasons. Oh my gosh. So yeah, we are in season 25, episode 218. Well, we're keeping it. We're rolling with this, man.
No, leave it there.
This is the mess of the journey right here.
It's fine.
On a podcast.
It's fine. No, I was surprised when you said it too.
I was too.
Yeah. Season 25 to episode 218. Crazy. I know. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, you guys, we are recording this smack dab in the middle of the Insight Conference. Depending on when you listen to this, for us, day one of Insight Conference happened today. I have some really good news. We had closed down registration this past Monday night, March 21st, at the stroke of midnight to get ready for the conference to start. But then we had all these people that were like, oh my gosh, I didn't get in. I missed the email. And our heart goes out. We have big hearts.
Because we've all been there.
We have all been there. I mean, seriously, how many times are we like...
Mm-hmm. How many times does the school has to have to tell us to pay the textbook fee?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say 20, but I'm just guessing.
And so we decided, hey, we're going to open up registration at the door. It's a special quote. You can't see my air quotes. At the door.
At the door. At the virtual door.
It's a virtual conference. So it's open. And here's the thing. If you're listening to this, you're like, man, I want to go to Insight. I want to attend the Insight virtual conference. You still can. Go over to insightconference.org. You can grab your spot right now. We didn't even raise the price. We just kept it the same, because we want to be generous as possible. So join us. You haven't missed anything. And here's the other thing. If March 23rd and 24th has passed, meaning you can't see attend the conference live, you can still sign up and get the replay. So we're keeping
Technology
this open.
Yeah, great.
I know. Truly is amazing. We're going to keep it open, I think, till April 7th.
Great.
So insightconference.org, register now. We're jumping into a really important topic that I'm excited to talk about, and that is meeting your kids where they are.
Right.
Let's talk about that.
You know, this is something that we've really learned and are learning over the past 20 years in our two families. Definitely when we became foster and adoptive parents, we thought if we get educated enough, we will always know the right answer, or we will always be prepared enough to help our children navigate the ins and outs of their own story. But the truth is, we can't anticipate how another person is feeling about their own experiences and their own story.
Right. Between our two families and you have nine, I have four, seven. So, I mean, like, we have a lot of children, and each of them handle it completely different. Now, we have some that were like, oh my gosh, our children are identical. And some of our children are identical.
In a freaky way, that is true.
It is. Down to their hoarding tendencies. But then we have others that are so different, and they handle everything so different. And we've learned how to go about that.
Right.
Their hoarding tendencies. That, can we just stop?
We all know which two we're talking about.
We didn't really mean it like clinical hoarding.
No.
We mean like, oh my gosh, have you seen my kid's bedroom? Yes. Have you seen my kid's bedroom? Yes. I mean, you could get lost in the first six inches.
So maybe not the hoarding, but the I've got to go to college as far away from home as possible because I just have to, quote, do it on my own. And we're talking about two kids that are like, could I just put my jammies on and snuggle up on the couch with you? I'm like, how are you going
to
do this?
How are you going to go across the world to college?
I don't
want to
go out with my friend. I've got a million friends and I'm very popular and beautiful, but I'm going to stay at home in my jammies.
With my mommy.
Yes.
Seriously. And play board games. Anyway, yes. I mean, in some respects, we're raising exactly the same child. But really, you know, even buying all the books, even reading all the, I mean, there weren't blogs back in the day, I guess, when we became foster and adoptive parents. Time has gone by.
It's true.
But even gathering as much information as we knew, there wasn't a textbook for how our kids would process their own unique stories. There is no one right way to respond to childhood trauma or family separation or
just love for their first family.
Right. There's no textbook for that.
Right.
So as much as we thought, age two, the child should be saying, you know, should be eating solid foods and beginning potty training. None of my kids wanted to potty train it too. I don't know why I said that. But, you know, you've got this idea of what should happen when.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And really, all of us have been a little blindsided at times by the statements that our kids make or the emotions that they're feeling surrounding adoption, or maybe it seemingly comes out of the blue or something that triggered it. There's just no one right way to process through everything that our kids have been through. And so we found that it's really important to meet our kids exactly where they are.
Yeah.
Well, but that begins with birth. And I know I've seen a lot of times on blogs or even talking with families. And one thing that always like makes my eyes pretty much bulge out of my head is, when do I tell my child that they're adopted?
Always.
First of all, it's not something that they should ever find out.
Exactly.
It has been a part of our child's story since. And we brought some children home from the hospital from birth.
Yeah.
That has never been a story that they needed to learn. Right. That has been a thing that they have always known. It has never been a surprise. So if there's the one thing you can do wrong.
Right.
It's not a story that you tell them at 2 or at 3 or at 7. This is a story that you are telling them from the time you are holding them in the hospital.
Exactly.
Somebody asked us, do you remember this? Somebody asked us when our firstborn child was a baby.
Are you going to tell them that they were adopted?
For the audience members who don't know anything about this or know our family makeup, our firstborn daughter is black.
And we are white.
And we are white.
Blonde hair, blue-eyed white.
Yeah, we're like...
Right, I'm like see-through skin, can't go out in the sun.
That's why I'm laughing. Because I do remember these conversations that people would come up and
it's
say
like,
to you. And
God bless them.
You're just looking at them.
I'm like, that's not... I can't even form a response to that right now.
I think Kristen was holding our daughter. And I looked at this person. And then I looked at our daughter. And I looked back at this person. And I'm like, surely you're going to pick up on this before I have to actually say something.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Yeah.
See-through skin. I'm never going to look at you the same way.
Well, you can see straight through.
She's transparent, people.
So, no, I think, you know, those are the conversations that should be happening naturally all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that was, you know, your child's response to that. So I thought, you know, if we tell them always and we always find something positive, that doesn't mean lie to your kids. That means you find the good, even when the situation is really tough.
Right.
So, if you're starting with that narrative, you're saying, oh my gosh, you smile just like your mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? I saw this picture of your brother. You know, would you like me to get it out? I was just thinking about him and how you guys are growing up to look so similar. Or, you know what? You're a beautiful singer, just like your dad. So we're finding some of those similarities. We're pointing those things out. We're praying for our child's family. That's something that's been a part of bedtime prayers since forever.
Yeah.
So we're doing that. And I think, too, I mean, this is just the self-centered nature of being human. But I thought that would create then a positive response.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was surprised when some of my kids were like, I don't want to talk about that right now. I'm mad at her.
Yeah.
I wouldn't meet her if she, you know, and we're saying, oh gosh, no, honey, we love people and we love your birth mom or, you know, no, honey, it's okay. It's okay. And so that's kind of where we want to pick up here today is that there's no playbook.
There's no way
to know what the response is going to be. And whatever the response is today, however our children are feeling today, it might be different tomorrow. It might be different when they're 80. And our job as parents is not to decide how they're going to process or what their emotions are going to be. It is to move ourselves to a position of support and to meet them exactly where they are.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is, sometimes they do have a harder story and sometimes they are angry. My kids have been angry. And I have always, you know, I always thought, you know, no, we love, we know it's, and sometimes I have to sit with my kid and say, you know, I'm angry too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm angry too.
Yeah.
Because some of their story is hard and I understand. I have grace. I get it. But at the same time, sometimes I'm angry with them for what they have to sit with and what they have to deal with. So sometimes that can look a whole lot different. Because I was at the beginning, I'm like, no.
Right. We don't hate.
Yeah.
We're not unhappy. We love this. And it doesn't, just because I'm mad at my mom who did not adopt me, just because I'm mad at her does not mean I don't love her.
And I think that's such a good thing, a good perspective to take, because I'm thinking just the fact that you use that as an example. I'm like, mad at your mom? Who would be mad at your mom?
Mm-hmm.
Your mom's great. Your mom is like, she'll come over to my house to visit and she like starts scrubbing the floor or cleaning behind the refrigerator or something. Anyway, you know, who could possibly be mad at your mom? But the truth is, if you came to me and said, I am so mad at my mom, I wouldn't say, oh, no. We're never mad at our moms. That's not okay. I would just listen to what you have to say, knowing that you have ownership over your own self, your own experiences. You're allowed to be mad, and you're allowed to talk that through with me, and maybe even by the end of the conversation say, you're not really that mad at her. I just got frustrated, or we just had a miscommunication. You know what? I'm going to call her tonight. We're going to work it out. I trust that you're going to work through your relationship with your mom. We need to trust that our kids are going to work through their relationship too. And then we've taken this different position.
Yeah.
I wouldn't tell someone else how to feel about a certain situation. I can't tell my kids that either. And I think we need to be prepared for the surprises. I think all three of us have had those times where we think we're talking about something and our child says, what?
Well, we've been surprised by many things with our children.
I was thinking of one that just happened in our house yesterday. It came out of, to me, it came out of the blue.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, hey, mom, do you think?
Oh.
You know.
Yeah. Whenever you have, it happens like a lot on those holidays and your birthdays. And sometimes there are additional births in the family.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
those can bring up some surprises and some conversations. And
well, that is what's been happening in our household. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about just up until a couple of years ago, I used to try to, I thought it was my job to soften the blow, you know, like a conversation piece would come up and the feelings would start to emerge, right? And I thought that my job was to stand in the gap and try to like almost put a soft edge on everything. And I finally realized, you know what? I need to hold space for some of that processing that's happening right now. And I need to step back and just in a way close my mouth and open my ears and just listen. You know, my job may be to redirect or give a new perspective, but I need to hold space for those emotions when those emotions start. And I think that's a hard thing for foster and adoptive parents. And I'd say a hard thing for adoptive parents, people who have their child mm-hmm. is now permanently part of their house, mm-hmm. their home, their family. It's really hard sometimes to step aside and give space for mm-hmm. those raw emotions. Mostly yes. because we've all been brought up to not do that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We've been brought up like, oh, you're not supposed to say that. Or you're not supposed that's
you're not supposed to feel anything.
Not supposed to
ever.
There you go.
Our recordings are therapy sessions too, in case you all wondered. Like for us to yeah. Anyways,
well,
go ahead.
No, you said something like just about listening. And yeah. I think that there's none of us want somebody to jump in and say, oh, you don't mean that. Or give a new perspective.
Yeah.
Until somebody asks you for a new perspective, you probably don't need to give yours. So, but you can lean in with some curiosity.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter was coming to me and, you know, she was talking with her mom and she was like, well, my mom, and she would stop. Mm-hmm. And I'm just listening and I'm like, oh, honey, are you thinking of what you're to call her? Yeah. And I'm like, what do you want to call her? Is she your mom? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you're my mom. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
I said, do I have another daughter? Yeah. But I don't want to hurt your feelings. And I'm like, okay. Well, and this is an older child adoption, so it's mm-hmm. a new thing. And I'm like, well, does it hurt your feelings when I tell my other daughter, or I call her daughter, or if I tell my daughter I love her?
That's good.
And
that's
she's like, well, no, that's your daughter. And I'm like, well, I don't care that you, it's okay.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can have another mom that you love.
We know we are sharing. We know that there's two parents.
And
we're
aware
of that.
And that can be hard, especially if you're new to this. I remember...
That's true. I mean, I go back to this was a struggle for me personally for a long time, you know, the idea that, and we were even, you know, I don't know where we got this idea. Maybe it was in our original classes that there's birth parents and then parents.
Like we had to identify the difference.
What's up with
and
that?
I remember realizing I grew up calling all my grandparents grandma and grandpa.
Right.
I never differentiated. Some people have...
I had big grandma and little grandma, yeah.
Right. Got and it. So you had your, like, your thing that you called them, Grammy and Grandma. Or,
yeah, yeah.
In our case, Lolly and Pop.
Which makes Lollipop. Oh my gosh. Get it?
My daughter, if you are listening in, I laugh every time the kids call us Lollipop.
Yep.
Thank you for that. So, you
Side
know,
note,
but...
Squirrel.
Sorry. I grew up calling my grandparents grandma and grandpa. And so, you know, if my parents said, oh, we're going to grandma and grandpa's house for Christmas this year, pack your bags. I knew we were going to the grandparents in New Jersey. Like, I wouldn't pack my bags for a half-hour drive to grandma and grandpa's house.
Yeah.
There never needed to be any explanation. Mm-mm. And I think there's more nuance to, you know, our language and the way that we... refer to one another. And I mean, I might say, hey kiddo, how was school today? But I've got, you know, five kiddos in school.
Yeah.
But they know I'm looking at them. I'm talking to this one. And I remember realizing I don't think we need to put a label on it.
A qualifier. Right.
Yeah. They don't need to say, okay, adoptive mom, will you tuck me into bed tonight? That's so silly. And if my child says, like yours did, I was talking to my mom today, well, I mean,
I know
you're not probably not talking about
it's not,
me.
It's not how we use the English language. Right. And we do that too. I'm like, you know, when we talk to each other, I'm like, well, you know, our child was talking to their mom. Well, you know that I'm not talking about me but we don't put in our families, we don't. And I know that you guys are the same way. We don't put qualifiers on it.
Right. Right.
You know, there's mom and dad and then there's mom and dad.
Right.
Yeah. And depending on how we're using it in conversation, you kind of figure out who they're talking to.
Exactly.
And you know what's interesting? And that's the meet your child where they are. So we have since switched to just mom and dad for our kids, for all of our kids' parents. However, we'll notice that when our kids are doing some explaining, you know, maybe a friend is over and they're like, well, actually, you know, It was my birth mom, or I was talking to my biological mom, or actually, you know, I get my height from my biological dad.
Mm-hmm.
So they might choose to do some further explaining, and that's for them to do. They might sit down with us one night and say, you know, I'm really worried about my mom. Or they might sit down with us one night and say, I'm really worried about Janet. None of them are named Janet. We don't give personal details.
Correct.
But I, you know.
Where did Janet come from?
I was trying to think of a name that didn't sound like anybody's name in our family.
And I have an aunt, Janet.
It's not your aunt.
Janet. Janet came out of out of left field, man. Yeah, so, that was, you know, like, but oh, that's one name we could use.
If our child sits down and says, you know, I'm really worried about Janet, I'm not going to say, oh, you know, we're going to call her. That is our child's
relationship and business.
Right. So we're going to meet them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
If birth mom is Janet today, then birth mom is Janet today. That's fine. If birth mom is mom today, then birth mom is mom. If my child sits down and says, I'm just so worried about my mom, then I'm going to say, gosh, I've been a little worried about your mom too. Do you want me to reach out and see if I can get a hold of her? We do not need to steer our kids away from however it is they want to talk about their family.
Yeah.
And we talked about some hard stuff, but there's some good stuff too. And I think some of that you were talking about, Mike, about sharing. There is there's a scary part to sharing.
Yeah.
When you first become a foster and adoptive family, if you've never experienced this type of, you know, extended family before, there's a feeling of
will they choose them over?
Yeah. What if I entertain this conversation and all of a sudden I lose this child?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes our kids come to us with good stuff. I talked to my mom today.
Yeah.
She's doing really great, or she's going to be in town, or I have a new niece and nephew. I can't wait to meet them next time I see my mom. There may be some good things too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't wait to be a part of her life, or...
You know, I have to tell you that just, I'm glad you brought that up, because as I'm listening to that, that was one of my fears years ago, almost 20 years ago now. What if they choose so-and-so over me? That was one. The second was this unnecessary fear of bio parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, and I've heard this from people, like, well, what if a bio parent shows up? What if they choose? I got to tell you something. Now that those children in particular are teenagers, I look back and all of those fears were just a waste of emotional energy. There was no reason to be afraid of either one of those things. And it's something that I remember early on in 2003, 2004, when we were getting our foster license, having those fears. And it gripped me, like it controlled me. And I got to tell you, anybody out there listening who's had these fears, let them go, because it's just, now I know that there are situations and there are stories out there.
Right.
But the fact is, I would venture to say 99% of the time, 98% of the time, these fears are just unwarranted. It's unnecessary emotional energy that
but
you're
that
spending.
Could happen.
It
and
could.
If it does, that's their story. That's their life.
True.
This is
who,
right.
I mean, these children have another life. And just like we do,
uh-huh.
you know, you can make a decision to walk away from your family today, Mike. I mean, I guess I've talked too long, guys.
No, I hit the wrong. What? Stop. I hit the wrong button, guys.
And
does it just play its court? It's an.
So we have new equipment.
We clearly, and I clearly don't know how to work it. I was looking for the mute button. I hit one of the other buttons.
I think that you got to the end of that thought, which was.
I'm so sorry.
Just don't be afraid of that, because they are people. Like, they are not ours. And I think that's one of the great things that we've learned is our children are not ours. Biological or not, our children are not ours.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like...
That's true.
I'm married to John, but John is not mine. He can walk away at any time. That's his choice.
Well, and John grew up with his mom, and you grew up with your mom. And families are fluid. There's so much more to a family than just, you know, whatever we've written down or, you know, somehow we've created some ironclad way to keep
together. I think that that's, I just think that, and I'm just going to, you know, kind of poke and prod at, you know, foster care training. I think that a lot of these
you think?
Ideals and fears and hangups, I think they come from those situations where training is happening, but it's not
happening.
It's not happening.
Right. Maybe we're missing,
yeah,
you know, some pieces, because I think that a lot of what you both are talking about is this, you know, this broader relationship, this idea that, you know, our kids are going to, I don't even know, leave
grow
us.
Grow and change and
love somebody else or get hurt by someone else. And both are really possible. Mm-hmm. So what can happen then if we put ourselves back in that position of support, then we can be people who are relied on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, shifting away from that worrisome, you know, perseverating on this could go badly. Mm-hmm. You know, what if this person doesn't have this child's best interest in mind? And what if my child gets hurt?
Yeah.
I hate that. I just don't ever want them to get hurt, but they're going to. So what if my child gets hurt? So, you know, we sit there and maybe try to prevent that from happening. Or what if my child, you know, meets all these extended family members and they get invited there for Christmas and it's like super fun and amazing and they love it and they go there and they don't come here.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can kind of get stuck there, maybe trying to prevent some loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we will switch positions and we just take the position of support, now we're saying, you know, oh my gosh, this is so exciting that your mom showed up for your football game. Let's all take a picture. Let me get a picture of you and your mom together. Mm-hmm. Oh, your little brother is here. Can we get one of everybody? Hey, can we have someone come over here and take a picture of all of us together? You know, we're kind of switching that position. How can I celebrate the fact that your mom is here right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we can do that, then we have the potential for participating in this celebration. Mm-hmm. So now we really can't go wrong. We participate in the celebration, and honestly, it just makes us feel good. Don't you want to see other people happy? Yes. We get to stand back and look at mom, see her son on the football field.
Yeah.
We get to watch her face and say, yeah, pretty proud, right? Mm-hmm. This is really exciting. We get to just stand by her and see her have a moment. We get to see our child just filled up and excited because this person is there for them. If we've done that and we experience that, if a loss happens, our kids also know that we would experience anything with them, that we will always step back and take ourselves out of the center. If a loss happens, then now the door is open for our child to feel like they can say to us, hopefully without embarrassment, I really got my feelings hurt.
Yeah.
I really got my hopes up. I really thought it was going to be different. So we want to always be in that position, ready to be that soft place.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I love that. And I do think it's encouragement to parents, especially the parent that's struggling to take themselves out, you know, of that, of the middle of it. You know, there's fear in that, but I got to tell you, there's been several situations over the last 15 years or so where it was hard for us to say, okay, I have to step out of this. Like I can't make this about me. I've got to let this child, experience this hardship. Now I'm not talking about like experiencing something unsafe, but the loss of a biological parent or and I can't make it about me while this child's grieving. You know what? The thing about that is that it always, I really believe that when we choose to kind of humble ourselves and take ourselves out of the situation, I think that in turn, in the long run, will turn out very positive for parents. I really do.
One way to do that is we started listening to grown adoptees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that has been the biggest change in hearing them speak about how we can support them. And so if you're here today and you're listening to this, go and follow adult adoptees.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
And don't get your feelings hurt. Listen.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's so true.
You probably didn't do it right. And they're going to speak to you and you're like, well, I didn't know. Well, don't get offensive.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then change.
Yeah.
And listen to what they're saying. Now, not all they're not all thinking the same. So follow more than one. You know, listen to your children as they grow, because they'll tell you as well.
Yeah.
And I didn't do everything right for my kids, and they're great to tell me. Yeah. But I have, they have younger siblings, and I'm like, okay, I didn't do that right.
Right.
Here's how I can work that out. So don't feel so offensive when your kids are talking to you. That's another thing to do. Like when, you know, we're talking about meet your child where they're at. Maybe their feelings are hurt. Maybe you didn't do it right.
Yeah.
Listen and take yourself out and listen. Shut up and listen and apologize and say, all right, well, help me do this better.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to tell you, you know how we joked earlier, we said the word squirrel, you know how that goes, like squirrel, we're off topic, right? Mm-hmm. Legitimately, and our listeners can't see this, but legitimately, as you guys were talking, I looked out, there was, I kid you not, there was a squirrel right on that branch of the tree, right out of the window where we're recording, and it was looking right at me. And it literally, I caught me by surprise because I was listening to you, and I look up and I'm like, squirrel.
Literally,
there was a squirrel right outside of the window. Wow. I didn't mean to derail this, but it really was, it was kind of humorous,
that's,
actually.
That's weird. Mm-hmm. I think when our children tell us something or, you know, they leave the door open, those are the times to not assume and to lean in. Mm-hmm. Oh, what makes you think about that today? Mm. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Lean in.
What
like
do you think would happen if that happened?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think would happen next? Is that something that you're worried about? I mean, there are all kinds of curious questions that we can ask. And, you know, again, I think it's that shift of feeling like we have to have all the answers and moving towards this position of curiosity, of just meeting them where they are. Often I'm thinking, oh, you're going through puberty, so you're probably thinking about, I mean, and that might be true. It's good to have some ideas of what might be popping up in their mind. But often we don't know. We're not with them at school. We don't know what somebody said at lunch today. We don't know, you know, what the triggers are. Does it smell different outside? Did something happen in the spring and all of a sudden, you know, our 15-year-old or our 16-year-old says, oh, that's what it is. Every spring I start thinking about XYZ. Maybe our kid cracks a joke. You know, we've talked about a lot of different emotions, but our kids handle things in different ways. Maybe we have a kid who just cracks a joke about what landed them in foster care, or cracks a joke about being abandoned or something. You know, my gut reaction is like, oh no, this isn't funny. We shouldn't laugh at this. Come here, mommy will hold you and hug you. Sometimes it's an open door. Oh, you know, laughing, I think, probably protects you. You know, I think that
it's,
you've done a good job of protecting
it.
Yourself. Is there, did something make you think about that today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they are leaving the door open a little crack to see what we're going to do next.
Yeah. And maybe humor is the way that they handle it. I remember when I was going through with my daughter who has the terminal, serious disease, whatever you want to call it. It was horrible. But I would handle a lot of that with humor. And it was just a way of processing it. And everybody processes everything different. I couldn't be sad all the time. Goodness gracious, I would have drowned in my tears. So a lot of times it was handled with humor. And that's another thing. Like, you know your kids, let them talk about it how they want to talk about it. Let them process it how they want to talk about it. Take the lead from them.
I think it's been interesting to see in that situation, watching all of our kids handle, not handle your daughter's.
Well, yeah, disease, I guess you could say it that way.
Participate in her handling it. I don't know. You know, but some of that has been humor on her part.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch the rest of our kids take her cue.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, then as an adult, gives me a cue on how to handle what my children are going through. I've watched your daughter crack a joke, you know.
You're like, no, that's not funny. It's completely inappropriate.
These are the perks, you know, as they're all in the front of the line at Disney or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, don't laugh, cry. You know, I'd rather be in the back of the line and never have a disease. They all crack the joke, get to walk to the front of the line with the wheelchair or whatever, and And she's laughing and they're laughing with her and they found some joy in the moment and it's not my turn to step in and say,
that's not funny.
I gotta tell you
about disease.
A couple of years ago when I was a chaperone on that trip that they took to, their choir took to Mexico, I gladly volunteered to push her wheelchair around because I got on the plane like a half hour before everybody else did. I
wheelchair felt like, perks.
Yeah, I was wheelchair like, perks. I was like, ooh, me, no. Me, pick me. Yeah. Because, well, and anybody that knows me knows the anxiety that I have around air travel anyways. And Kristen's rolling her eyes because it really is ridiculous.
We try to meet you where you are.
Yeah. It's not, it doesn't work, does it?
But we can't because you're 100 miles ahead of us. So one of these days, we've all decided that...
you're going to turn around and leave the airport and just
we are
like
going
head
to
on
leave
out.
Him at the airport and go get tickets to a different flight. And we're just going to wait and see how long it takes him to notice that he left us in his dust hours
ago. I have a problem.
Ago.
I admit it. I have a problem. It's anxiety ridden. I have this fear. So here's the thing. I cannot go, you know, when people go to like concerts where they have to wait in line or, I have a friend who wants me to fly out, to Colorado to hang out with him and he wants me to fly standby. And I'm like, I can't do that. My anxiety will kill me. It will literally kill me. I have to know that I have a seat, that I have a confirmed ticket. I have to have somebody that needs wheelchair assistance for me to push them around. I have to. I need these things.
It's gonna be so on that note, it's really important in human interaction to meet people where they are.
It is. And I will say this is a serious thing. I promise this is a serious thing. Sure. I was going to say this like 10 minutes ago. Back to your child with a terminal illness. One of the things we've always admired about you and John is that you've never let fear drive you. I remember that years ago in that specific disease community, if I can say it like that, you know, the community of families that are dealing with that type of illness, you guys would hear from a lot of people that would say, well, you can't do this, you can't expose them to that. And you guys never let that fear control you. I thought that was really admirable. That was really powerful. You just decided, okay, we trust and we know that everything's going to be okay.
And that plays, it always plays back into adoption because we've used a lot of examples from her in many talks. But you can't let fear control you. If you're afraid that your child is going to leave you, if you are afraid that your child is going to choose someone else, then you are thinking about it completely wrong and you need to see someone for that. That's not your child, that's you. Mm. And don't put that on your child.
You're spending unnecessary emotional energy. Mm-hmm. I think you are.
Yeah. But you're putting that on your child and that's not fair.
Yeah, and totally true.
Your child doesn't need that additional trauma of you on top of what they're already dealing with. And so if that is you, if you are not able to deal or meet your child where they are, then you need to go and get some help. Not your child, go and get some help.
Right. Yeah.
You need to go and you need to get some help and talk about why you feel the way that you feel towards your child, towards their family, towards their mom and dad, towards their story, so that you can be okay talking about it and meeting them where they're at.
Yeah, totally. Good talk. This was a good talk. I hope you guys that are listening got a lot out of this. Jump over to our podcast page, honestlyadoption.com/podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever there's podcasts. Especially subscribe because, man, that's how we boost the algorithms on the show. We reach more people by you guys rating it, all that good stuff. Leave us a review. And thanks for hanging with us through the messiness of this show. You probably heard cars in the background because we record this next to a busy street. Hey, it's the mess of the journey, man.
Today's beautiful today.
Thank you guys for being here.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Honestly Adoption Podcast, a resource courtesy of the Honestly Adoption Company. To learn more about us, visit www.honestlyadoption.com.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.